So welcome again to Bethel Baptist Church, the Search and Scriptures class, where we take your questions and we answer them from the Bible. Before we begin today, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord and gracious Father, we thank you so very much for your hand of grace and mercy, for the truth of God, which dwells within our hearts and in our minds, for the truth of God, which is in place within the Scriptures, that we can read them, and that by the Spirit of God we can understand, and that we can learn to teach them and to share them with others, that your name be lifted up, your name praised, your name exalted. And we thank you, Father, for you are divine and you are holy, you are perfect in every way. Teach us today what you would have us to learn. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. So does anyone have any particular question they would like us to look at? Maybe something you came across this week or whatever? Okay. So if you do have questions, whether you're here or listening on the internet, you can, or later, you can send an email to questions@bbcmh.org, and we will get them on our list of questions. So we'll be taking a look at the concept of belief and believe. And because ultimately, when you talk to about Christianity, when you talk to Christians, the core of or much of the core of the Christian experience is found in belief and faith, right? So we're going to take, so it's important to understand what those concepts are, because a lot of people believe things, and what's the meaning behind, what's the importance of someone believing just whatever they might believe, right? It doesn't really matter. There are people who believe that there are space aliens running around in little in ships out there, and they come and they take people away. There's people that believe that all of this was formed contrary to science through evolutionary means and changes from one thing to another. There's people that believe that if you drill deep enough into the center of the earth, that you'll open up a pathway into hell. And there's all kinds of things people believe. And so we're going to take a look at, well, when the Bible is talking about belief, trying to understand what it is. So we're going to take a look first at some of the words that are there, and then we'll take a look at the concepts. So if we go to Exodus chapter 4, and we read verses 1 through 9. So we're going to be looking at both belief and faith, and try to uncover a little bit about them. And who would like to start off our reading for us?
Exodus 4, 1 and 9. And Moses answered and said, "But behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, The Lord hath not appeared unto thee. And the Lord said unto him, What is that in thine hand? And he said, A rod. And he said, Cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said unto Moses, Put forth thine hand, and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand, that they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, hath appeared unto thee. And the Lord said furthermore unto him, Put now thy hand into thy bosom. And he put his hand into his bosom, and when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous with snow. And he said, Put thine hand into thy bosom again. And he put his hand into thy bosom again, and plucked it out of his bosom, and behold, it was turned again as his other flesh. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe thee, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign, that they will believe the voice of the later sign. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe also these two signs, neither hearken unto thy voice, that thou shalt take of the water of the river, and pour it upon the dry land. And the water which thou takest out of the river shall become blood upon the dry land."
Okay. So several times during this passage, we have the word believe in there. Anyone know what the Hebrew word is?
Mm-hmm.
How many of you ever heard the word amen? And what does amen mean?
So be it.
So be it. Okay. The Hebrew word is amen. That's its base form. That's its most simplest, basic form. And so wherever you see, well, pretty much where I looked at several, I didn't look at all 608 instances of belief and faith, but I did look at to have to, quite a few of them, and every single time I looked at them, it was based upon this root of amen. And so some of the things that this can mean is to support, to confirm, or to be faithful. So he says, in essence, he's saying, in verse 1, Moses answered and says, behold, they will not support me, or they will not confirm me. They will not be faithful to me. Okay? And so we have that picture of supporting and confirming, a picture of trust. Some of the other ways, it's most notably translated as belief, but other ways that it's translated is assurance, faithful, sure, established, trust, verified, steadfast, continuance, I don't know where they get father from, but father, bring up, nurse, be nursed, surely be, stand fast, fail, and be in a mocking way, and trusty. So you got a sense of the concept of the word belief and what it means, right? And so take a look at what is happening here. And Moses is saying, if I tell them that God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob appeared unto me, they're not going to listen to me. How many of us would listen to someone, yeah, I spoke to God face to face, mouth to mouth, personally? We'd say, okay, let's go dial up the local loony bin, right? So that's what he's saying. Okay, I'm going to tell them all this stuff, and they're going to laugh at me. So what is, you find interesting about these signs? God says, do these. Is there anything interesting about those? Well, how many of us can take a stick, toss it down, and it becomes a serpent? The tanaim is literally what it means.
No, that is because of the miracles that you're asking that Moses to perform and as witness that God has given them.
So it's something that is completely out of the ordinary. Now, what do we know about the first sign? What happened when Moses did that in front of Pharaoh?
Pharaoh was a magician. Yeah, he just kind of did some similar type of thing.
Right. So
magic.
So some sort of magic, some sort of sleight of hand. Which is interesting, the second sign, that was really a sleight of hand. What does that mean? What did Moses do? He put his hand in his jacket, under his shirt, and then brought it back out, and it was leprous. Okay? And then he put it back, and it came back again. Now, if it was truly leprous and truly his hand, that is truly amazing. So it's not something that just occurs all the time. Not, you know, you don't just walk down the street and all of a sudden his stick turns into a snake that's going to come bite you. So there's something special about these things as well.
Yeah, God is creating something. It's not like in your Genesis 1, but he's taking one piece of wood and turning it into a snake, and in another case, living skin and turning it into whatever this leopard skin is. The case of the spirit of the magician, I don't know what they did. You're right, it's probably some sleight of hand.
Right. Well, have you ever seen someone walk through the Great Wall of China?
Walk through it.
It's all sleight of hand. I don't know exactly how they did it, but David Copperfield.
Yeah, I know they do incredible things as
magicians. Yeah. See, some of the things that have happened, and some of them are done with camera trips, but they walked through the Great Wall of China, made the Statue of Liberty disappear, made an entire platoon of soldiers disappear. I mean, they're all involved in what's going on. But some of the things that you discover can happen is camera angles, you know, so you have whatever object you're trying to hide, and you put this close enough to the camera, it's disappeared. Those are some of the things that they do. There's all kinds of interesting things that are out on the web that are interesting tricks, but that's what they are, tricks. Completely different. So then let's go on. We're going to stick with the Old Testament first. Just had to change my mind on that. Numbers 12, verses 7 and 8. And Judy.
My servant Moses is not so, who is faithfulness all my house. With him would I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches, and the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses?
Okay. So faithful. Anyone want to guess what the Hebrew core word is? Amen. So you have belief, which is amen, and you have as a root, and you have faith or faithful as amen. What's the difference between them? What's the difference in word usage between believe and faith?
One's a noun,
one's a verb. And that's the difference. See, faith is the noun form of believing. Pretty simple, isn't it? And look at what he says there. Who is faithful in all my house, as Moses is? I will speak mouth to mouth to him, face to face with him. What do you think about the kind of that Moses' faith being able to speak face to face with God?
Blessed.
Yeah, that is a blessing. And in a way, what we have in comparison to Moses is superior. Because although Moses would, in a sense, speak mouth to mouth with God, we have God living in our heart to communicate to us, to always be with us. See, Moses would have to run out to the tabernacle to communicate with God. We have always God with us. So now let's take a look at the New Testament concept of these words. Matthew chapter 9.
Matthew 9, 27 to 30. And when Jesus departed, then two blind men followed him, crying and saying, "Thou Son of David, have mercy on us." And when he was come into the house, the blind man came to him, and Jesus said unto them, "Believe ye that I am able to do this?" They said unto him, "Yea, Lord." Then touched he their eyes, saying, "According to your faith be it unto you." And their eyes were opened, and Jesus straightly charged them, saying, "See that no man know it."
Okay. So here we happen to have in the same passage both belief and faith. So the Greek word for belief is pisteo, and for faith is pistis. They're basically the same form of the word, the same basic root again. So we have belief is a verbal form and faith is the noun form. So they are basically one and the same thing, just different manifestations, so to speak. And so look at what Jesus does here. The blind men come and want, desire mercy that they can see. And notice what Jesus answers. Do you believe that I am able to do this? Do you believe it? Now, if they would have said, "Yeah, sure, okay," was there been real belief?
No.
So they said, "Yes, absolutely," because notice how they referred to him as Son of David. So who is, do you think, would be Son of David that they would have, be able to believe whatever he's
promised Messiah?
He's the promised Messiah. And they knew full well who he was. So he said, "You, by proclaiming him as Son of David," he said, "You are that Son of David. You are that Messiah." And he's saying, and by believing on him, he says, "Hey, as the Son of David, as the Messiah, you can do anything you want." And then he said, "According to your faith, be it unto you." So again, it's how much do you believe? Do you really believe? Because if they don't believe, is he going to accomplish anything? Is the implication there. if you're just, I don't know. That's sort of like the man whose son was tormented by demons. And he looked at Jesus and says, look, if you can do anything. And Jesus sort of looked at him and says, what do you mean now? Do you believe I can do this? And he says, help my unbelief. Well, now he put it back on to Jesus and says, I need you. So look at Mark 11:22.
And Jesus answered,
have
faith in God.
Okay, very simple. Have faith in God. Have peace in God. And so, what is God incapable of doing?
Lying.
Generally, the only thing that, is in essence, that God cannot do, it's not, and it's because he will not do it. Because it's outside of his character. He will not sin. It's just impossible for him to even consider it. He will not do that. So again, we have the faith is a concrete thing. It is this nominal component to it. Okay? So we're going to take a look at some ways that the words are used. Look at Genesis 15, 4 to 6. We're going to talk a little bit about how they're used. And then we'll see how far we can go. I really want to look at John. What John does is really fascinating.
Genesis 15, verses 4 through 6. Mm-hmm. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look me out toward heaven, tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness.
Now, based upon the history of this passage, of the life of Abraham to this point, what was this promise that was being made to Abraham in verse 4?
It seems unbelievable.
Why?
Abraham was very old, childless, yeah. Because he says before they were supposed to... this might be 90 or so, and his wife is very old.
And the history of barrenness, right?
Yeah, with the history of barrenness. No children between them. And so here he's told, look, this steward, that's not your heir, but he will come from your own bowels, from your own body. And he said he believed in the Lord. Now, how did he... Why did he believe the Lord? Why did he believe?
God had blessed him with the faith from early on. I mean, he had left his home in the Chaldees when God called him out. He heard the Chaldees said, he knew God is true.
Basically, the way I look at it is he believed the Lord because he's the Lord. Mm-hmm. In other words, if the Lord says it, good enough for me. Now, they didn't know how it was going to be manifest, and that's why they get into trouble in chapter 18, or 17, and sort of try this Hagar thing.
Do it yourself.
Yeah. Which, you know, but what he did is he says, look, this is going to happen. And could he see the handwriting on the wall that this, I'm going to have a child?
He knew that was going to happen.
He knew it was going to happen, but did he say, oh yeah, I know exactly how it's going to happen, I know when it's going to happen, this is going to happen.
No.
Okay, the only reason he could believe it is because Yahweh said so. And so sometimes, you know, that's what we have to do. For example, how many of us believe that Jesus Christ is coming again? Why? Because he said so. Right? And so we don't question him. Now, we might try to figure out and understand what he meant when he said certain things, and that's where Bible interpretation comes about. The reality is, he said it. And it doesn't matter whether I believe it. I believe it because he said it. And that's what's going on here. And so he's willing to say, okay, you got it. You said it's going to happen. I'm going to trust you then. Go over to Deuteronomy 7:9.
terrible.
Now we therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him, and keep his commandments to a thousand generations.
So here is the defined or declared to be the Amen God, the God of faith. Why? Why did he describe him that way? It says right in that verse.
He keeps his covenant.
He keeps his covenant. He keeps his agreement. He keeps what he says. Now, if I give you my word, you hope I'm going to keep it. And I hope I'm going to keep it. I intend to keep it. But when God gives you his word, you don't have to hope that he keeps it. You absolutely know it. So you have this concept of faith, which is, this is a done deal. Even though it's afar off, even though it's a long ways away. Over to Matthew 8, verses 5 to 13.
Matthew 8:5-13. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, Go, and he goeth, and to another, Come, and he cometh, and to my servant, Do this, and he doeth this. When Jesus heard it, he marveled, and said to them that followed, Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, Go thy way. As thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour.
Okay, so here we have this picture of faith. So we've got this centurion who's said, Look, I need some help with this servant of mine. He's sick, and can you heal him? Right? And Jesus says, I will come and heal him. Did the guy say, come and heal him? Oh, he just says, I've got this one that's sick. And then look at his answer. I am not worthy that you should come into my room. But speak the word, and your servant will be healed. What was he doing with Jesus?
Doesn't equal my God, okay. Or at least a godly power that is supernatural power.
Definitely had, because he was saying, just as he had the authority to command men, that Jesus had the authority that he could do it without even being there to heal.
So can you imagine the utter trust that's there? I mean, not only does he say, look, I'm not even worthy of you coming to my house. So he took himself and he said, what you say happens. And I know it'll happen. It doesn't matter what you say. It will be done. But I'm so down here. I'm worthless for you to even consider this, in essence. Worthless for you to consider doing anything and coming to me and being in my presence. That's out of question. But if you say it, if you desire it, it'll be done. And so we've got that utter faith. And so here is Jesus talking about, look, I have not seen such faith anywhere, not in Israel. And what was Israel supposed to be?
The chosen people.
The chosen people. They were brought out of Egypt by a strong hand, and by the hand of God, and with great signs and wonders. Don't you think Israel would have had great faith? And yet he says, look, there's no faith in Israel. They're holding up to their laws and their their traditions and their rituals. They're not trusting in God. They have no faith in God.
Go through the motions.
Right. Let's go over to Romans 4, 3 to 5.
But what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned as grace, but as debt. But to him that worketh not, but believes on him that justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness.
Verse 6.
Even as David also regardeth the blessedness of the man, unto him God imputeth righteousness without works.
Okay. What is, in Paul's writing here, what's he talking about with, about works? What's he mean by works?
Deeds intended to save oneself.
Right. It's basically good deeds to make whatever we do that you classify makes me look good.
Yeah.
So he's saying, look at verse 4. He says, to him that does good deeds in order to look good, it's not accounted for grace, but it's accounted for debt. God owes you. But he says, to the one who just believes, who throws his entire self upon the mercy of God and says, I need you for your mercy. I need you to save me. I need you to do all this. I have no one else to turn to. I have no other hope. I have no other option before me. He's saying, that is a faith accounted for righteousness. And so it's not just accounted for, I believe. And John really digs that out. We're just going to skip Hebrews 11. No, we'll go there real quick. Hebrews 11, 1. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1.
Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen.
Okay. So it's the substance of things hoped for. So what does he mean, the substance of things hoped for?
It's the things tangible experience of hope. You know, there's a feeling. There's a substance of something that's more tangible.
It's much more tangible than hope. But what do we know if we hope for something? What do we know about our possession of it?
We don't know.
We don't have it. Right? Now, what he's saying is it's not only don't have it, but he's saying it's the evidence of things not seen, so it's evidentiary. And if there's evidence for it, what do we know about faith itself and the hope that we have as a result of that? Is it circumstantial evidence? Speculative evidence? Or do you think this is an assured hope?
Something real like an assured hope. The substance. I mean, that means there's...
There's meat to it.
Yes, yeah. Meat. I mean, something real.
Right. It's the tangibility of it. I mean, we often hear people talk about, oh, man, I sure hope I get that job. Well, that's sort of, in a sense, you know, putting it sort of mildly, is a sense of wishful thinking, right? But see, the hope, the faith that we have in God, the hope that we have is not a, I hope I get this, but I know I've got it, this matter of time. It's an absolute guaranteed assured hope. And so he's saying, this is faith. The guaranteed, sure hope. This is belief. Guaranteed, sure work. So I started, when I was putting this together, how do you put all this together? I think, let's take a look at some nuances of hope, because, or of faith. Because if someone just says, yeah, I have faith, oh, good. You know, is that the whole picture of it? Someone says faith and that's it. Okay, they're in. Well, we're going to take a look at some nuances of faith. Proverbs 26, 24 to 26.
12:26, 24-26. He had hated the semblance of his lips, and laid up the seat within him. Though he seek and fear to leave him not, but there are seven abominations in his heart, whose hatred is covered by the sheet, whose image shall be showed before the whole congregation.
Okay. Now what does that have to do with faith and hope?
I was thinking of faith, because we're done
that. If someone says, I believe in this, or I have faith, and I trust in God, does that mean he does?
No, it was just words.
Right. So the nuance here is it's not just the utilization of words, because it's much deeper than that. Anyone ever heard of Templeton? I can't remember his first name. Templeton.
Heard of him, yes.
He was an evangelist with our friend Billy Graham. Billy Graham, or Charles Templeton. Thank you, Lord. Charles Templeton was a hail and brimstone evangelist. And he fell away from belief. He didn't believe that God was. Well, does that mean he believed at once of salvation and now no longer does? Or does that mean he was speaking a form of deceit? He was deceiving himself.
He never had the faith, the substance that we talked about before. Yeah. He may have had some superficial feeling, but he never had that substance.
Right. He never would have been able to take a look at it and says, my faith is real. I can practically touch it and feel it. One of the things that brought him down was the concept of evolution. Disagreement with the Bible. Evolution must be true, so God's word must be false. Billy Graham, at the same time, didn't have a clue. So he said, "It's God, I don't know about all this stuff. I just know this one thing. I'm going to trust you." See, he had a sense of substance to it, this evidence for it. This is, the faith of Jesus Christ is real. It is true, despite all the evidence. Take a look back at Abraham. What was the evidence that he had that he would have a child? Despite the word of God, if someone says, look, you're going to have a child.
It was actually just the human evidence was all against it. He had no, him and his wife had had no children for
80 years.
Yeah, or
7 years.
A long time, and it was certainly demonstrated barrenness, demonstrated childlessness.
Right. So they had no evidence. They had nothing to say. Oh yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, we're in our 20s, in our 30s. Okay. No problem.
No new scientific test.
Yeah. They did not have IVF. Didn't happen. So looking at it from the human scale, they had no hope of ever having a child. And yet they believed the impossible, as Hebrews refers to it, they believed hope beyond hope. Because it was hopeless for them. Except for one thing made the difference. God said. Okay. Let's go over to Luke 24:24-27.
Certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the woman had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself.
Okay. What does this tell us about faith itself? What do you think?
Slow.
Okay. In ourselves, faith is slow. Is faith a thing?
It's something you can see.
Okay. Well, is faith a person?
Well, we know Christ is our faith. I mean, there's many cases he's called to be our faith.
Right.
Faith of Christ. So there's a personality involved there.
Right. Look at what he's saying here. So they're talking about the resurrection, the tomb was empty, and they said, oh, fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. In other words, he's saying, wasn't this prophesied on? Wasn't this told you how the Christ ought to suffer and ought to enter in his glory, ought to be resurrected? Psalm 22 and a lot of other places which proclaim the glory of God and the power of Jesus Christ. And he's saying, calling them lacking a faith because they didn't believe the scriptures, they didn't believe him. And notice what he says here in verse 27. Beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded them in all the scriptures of things about God.
Things concerning himself.
He said when the prophets wrote, they didn't write just arbitrary things, but they were focused in and writing about me. Mm-hmm. And if we're to have faith in God, we're to trust God and what God wrote. And if God wrote about Jesus Christ, the target of our faith is not a book that we carry, not a church that we go to, but the target of our faith is a person, a living person, the Lord Jesus Christ. See, a lot of people put their faith in science. And if you've ever read what's going on in the scientific community over the last 4,000 years or so, what will happen in the world of science?
Things change.
Yeah, they'll come out and they'll say, we've got absolute proof of this. And then if you know about some of the backdoor newspapers, all about 2 months later, they say, well, this is completely not true. We've been able to verify it. Because after all, if you're talking about origins, it makes headlines to say that evolution has been demonstrated to be true, but it's on page 92 in a little 1x1 square. It says, well, it's going to prove it's all actually to be false.
You know, the famous National Geographic copy, cover page, the missing link bird,
The Opteron?
Actually, we were subscribing to that about 6 years ago on the front page, and then it was a few months later on some small footnote, this was a found to be forgery. Cover page, it's well-received, respective journal, it's automatically, and then just a few months later, a small subtext written about, which most people wouldn't have read. Most people probably believe it. Say, oh yeah, I read on this thing, making this bird and dinosaur, I saw a copy, cover page in the National Geographic.
Yeah. So, when you put your faith in the man, you will lose out on that. But you put your faith in God, and it's an assured hope and guarantee.
Mm-hmm.
Romans 10, 9-11.
Romans 10, 9-11. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. But the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed.
Okay. What do we know about faith when we're talking about the Lord Jesus Christ?
In the heart.
See, how many people can you run across and say, oh yeah, I believe Jesus is the Christ, he rose from the dead, but it has no effect on our life.
Mm-hmm. Probably a lot of people in America make that statement.
Right, but see, when you believe, when you trust that Jesus died for your sins, and you know that you will spend eternity not in hell where you deserve, but in heaven, which you do not deserve, what would that manifest in you?
Gratitude.
desires and say, Lord, what would you have me to do? That's one of my favorite, another one of my favorite passages is Acts chapter 9. When Paul comes face to face with Jesus, he doesn't say, well, you know, I really don't believe you. I don't think you're the Christ. He says, Lord, Cornelius, what do you have me to do? I'm yours now. Because obviously you are not who I thought you were, but you are superior than I ever imagined. And the fascinating thing about that passage is there's other people with him, and they're sort of kind of looking around going, what's going on here? We hear something. We should hear some sort of noise, but we don't know what it is. We see some sort of kind of light, but we don't really know what it is. And here's Paul bowed down, crying out in essence for mercy. That's how powerful the vision was. And it says that when Ananias came to him and prayed, that things like scales fell off of his eyes. Well, why didn't these other guys believe? Because they didn't have faith to believe. They weren't interested in doing what God wants. They're interested in protecting their religion.
Wait, the other guys were with
them?
Yeah.
You're all going to
capture Christian.
Probably
he saw it.
They saw it. They saw something. They didn't have a clue what they saw.
Isn't that the Lord letting him see it?
The Lord revealing himself to them.
Yes. But why did he let them, why is it that you can have, you know,
it's God's choice.
Yes. Right. But the point is that God chose us to read. But they were all in the same place, and they all saw something. They all heard something.
Like now, is it?
See, I feel like now. Where you can all, we can all be together, we can all hear the same message, we can all see the same thing, we can all, but maybe one will cry out to God for mercy, because they will see the Lord.
So it's not that, I don't know if you should say that they didn't believe, it's that Jesus didn't reveal himself to them.
They were not, at a minimum, they were not at a point there in a position where
it's
God
not,
chose
it's not really our works, though, to say,
no.
Oh, well, I believe, you know, I do X, Y, and Z, therefore.
No, but their heart wasn't, in a sense, their heart wasn't heavily prepared.
Well, they wanted a jury to kill Christians
and no. But no, they also weren't interested in asking Paul, you know, what are you talking about? What are you like that?
You're
trying to, yeah, well, this guy, I think Paul was like the end guy. There was not that interest. I'm sure he shared it with them.
Well, yeah, I mean, we have record of sharing it with people two or three times.
Yeah, so
this is what happened.
There was this wall of hardened heart. I mean, you've got to have to change your heart. They had hardened heart. They weren't going to listen. They were exposed to this light and something, but they didn't care to fall off and investigate.
Like,
I mean, it's like, people are not going to serve you. You should investigate. Okay, here's this thing.
Well,
maybe I don't believe it, but let me investigate it. But maybe they don't care.
Yeah. There's a lot of speculation we can go on.
Right, with that. This morning, when you go for years, you do your Bible study, you do everything, and, you know, you don't pray to the Lord, open my eyes, illuminate me. So.
Yeah, unless the Lord opens the eyes.
Yeah.
And we don't know why he does or when he does it. All we know is because of his grace and his mercy, he chooses to. Mm-hmm. But the point is that people all saw this. In essence, they saw from an external perspective, and they heard the same thing. Paul was able to put it all together because God opened his heart and his mind and his eyes to believe. These other ones looked at it and says, well, I heard a noise, I saw some light, but other than that, nothing else.
They didn't hear the words, though.
They heard a noise.
Yeah.
They didn't hear Jesus speaking.
They didn't hear the voice itself.
They heard Paul saying.
Right. Yeah, we looked at that at a previous time because Paul later says they heard the voice. The word that translated their voice is noise. They heard a sound. And they just happened to use the word voice to satisfy that translation. I'm going to jump around a little bit in John. I'm going to first take a synopsis of what we're going to be looking at. In John 4, 39-42, and then 47-53. And then I want to take a look at this whole bunch of scriptures scattered throughout John. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, and told me all that ever I did. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him
that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days, and many more believed because of his own word.
Okay, 42.
And said unto the woman, Now we believe not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world.
Okay. So in verse 39, it says, Many of the Samaritans of the city believed. So they believed, right? Well, then, why does it say in verse 41, many more believed because of his own word? And then verse 42, they said unto the woman, Now we believe, not because of your words, but because we heard of ourselves. So they believed when she said it, and then when he said it, they believed. What's the difference going on there?
Could it be different people or different groups of the Samaritans?
Okay.
Or rather, just surface belief and getting more and more tangible as the priest progressed. One is they're taking her witness and, plausible, but not really becoming a substantial faith until Jesus himself speaks.
So let's also take a look at 47 to 53.
47 to 53. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went into him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then said Jesus unto him, Except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. The nobleman saith unto him, Sir, come down ere my child die. Jesus saith unto him, Go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. And as he was now going down, his servant met him, and told him, saying, Thy son liveth. Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend. And they said unto him, Yesterday at the seventh hour the fever left him.
53.
So the father knew that it was at the same hour in which Jesus said unto him, Thy son liveth, and himself believed, and his whole house.
Okay. So his son is sick, and in verse 50, he's told, Go your way, your son lives. And the man believed. And how do we know he believed?
He left. And that's obviously the most important to him, his son's health, he believed Jesus.
Okay. So there's a sense that he believed. So why in verse 21 and 51, when they said, told him that his son lives, and in 52, he says, Well, when did he start to begin getting better?
There's that personal, okay, now I've seen your work accomplished.
Right. So he believed, and yet he was still sort of kind of having a sense of doubt. Yeah. Wait a second, when did this happen? And then look at how they end that on verse 53. He said, and himself believed. So he said he believed, so he left, and now when you've got this healing miracle, he says, now he believes. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, what we're going to be doing is as much time as we can. I don't know if we can get it done in 9 minutes, but we'll see. We're going to be looking at the believing, the faith of the disciples. So we're going to go to John chapter 2, verses 7 to 11.
2?
Yeah, I jumped down to the next line.
Okay.
I knew I wasn't going to probably not fulfill everything, but I wanted to get to this story, so we'll see how far I can get.
2:7 to 11. Jesus saith unto them, Fill the water pots with water, and they filled them up to the brim. And he saith unto them, Draw up now, and bear unto the governor of the feast, and they bear it. And the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which that drew the water knew. The governor of the feast called the bridegroom, and he saith unto him, Every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse, but thou hast kept the good wine until now. This beginning of miracles that Jesus did in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him.
Okay, so what do we know about his disciples? So they see this great miracle, the standard everyday water turn, actually, we're not even considered everyday water, turned into wine. Do you know why they had the water pots there in the first place?
For cleaning.
Yeah. You put the water in there and let them sit for a couple of weeks so that they can get cleaned up a little bit. Whatever's in there would hopefully die off.
I said it was for use washing feet.
No, really.
It was really bad.
So what I understood is that these water pots would be used for purification of the water. Because they didn't exactly have the strictest health standards there. And so he said, take this water out of the well and just run it over to the guy. Now, the guy's asking for wine. How many of you as the servants are going to take him a glass of water? Well, they did. Because Jesus said so, and they were told whatever he said to do it. What was the result of it all in verse 11? So they see all of this, because the disciples were all privy to all this. They saw every nuance of this. What happened to them?
They believed.
Okay, you think this includes the 12? Yeah. So they believed. Okay? So let's go down verses 22 and 24.
Therefore, when he had risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this to them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. Now, when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover during the feast, many believed in his name when they saw the sign which he did. But Jesus did not commit himself to them because he knew all men.
Now, verse 22, when does that occur in the chronology of things?
After Jesus.
Yeah, and what does it say about them after the resurrection? They remember what happened.
Then they believe.
Then they believe. Well, wait a second, I thought they believed in Cana. But he's saying, wait a second, it wasn't until after the resurrection that they believed. So what's going on there?
He saw her, and then he believed the scriptures were fulfilled.
Two different events. I think that they didn't lead up to like degrees of belief. It's kind of it's a growing belief.
It's a growth.
Yeah.
Faith and belief is a growth. You bet, I know. but that's what's going on with John. And we're going to keep looking. Let's go over to John chapter 6. Verses 63 to
71. It is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The word that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believeth not and who should betray him. And he said, therefore I said unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. In that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then Jesus said unto the 12, will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered them, saying, have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he was that should betray him, being one of the 12.
Okay, based upon what we've read in Canaan, and based upon what we read here, what do you think Judas would have said about believing?
I believe.
So he would have been included in that group that says they believed. But what do we know about Judas?
He didn't believe.
Right? And so there's this sense of there's different types and levels of belief. You can believe, but do you really believe? Now that doesn't mean that we're the judge, and when someone says, yes, I believe, they're saying, well, what do you believe? That's not our job. We don't want to judge. We're the end of the judging. The point is for us, where do we believe, and what do we believe? Are we growing in that faith? Are we growing in that belief? Or we just had this one-time event, I said the magic words that I believe, and now I'm living my life as it pleases me. But hey, I've got that belief. As opposed to saying, I believe, and I'm taking that belief wherever I go. See, these guys were talking here about there's a sense of belief, and that is, well, there were some that believed, and yet they didn't really believe. So we got this cool thing going on with John. Let's go to John 11, 13 to 15.
John 11, verses 13 through 15. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking a breath and sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sake that I was not there. To the intent ye may believe, nevertheless let us go unto him.
Wait a second, isn't this the 12? I'm glad I wasn't there so that you might believe? I thought they believed in Cana. Right? So there's different things that are believing. And there's, again, that picture of growth and believing. They believed he did the miracle. They had a sense of who he was. They said he was the Christ. But he said, look, I want you to see that Lazarus truly is dead. I'm bringing him back so that you might believe. Might actually believe. Isn't that fascinating? What John does with faith and belief. It's sort of like it's there just outside your grasp, but you really have it. Which is why Paul says in 2 Corinthians 13:5, examine yourself to see if you're in the faith. See, I can't examine any one of you. I can try to ask you some questions, and I've had people, boy, they answer me left, right, up and down, any question I ask. But their life is a miserable mess. I'm trying to figure out, well, where's Jesus in all of this? Do you really believe? And I'm not the judge, but you get a sense, maybe they don't really believe. Keep going. It's 25, you know, same chapter, John 11, 25 to 27.
Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary her sister secretly, saying, The Master is come and calleth for thee.
Okay, so here's Jesus talking with Martha, again, dealing with Lazarus. Lazarus has been dead how long? 4 days. He's been in the grave 4 days. And he says, verse 25, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, yea, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Believe you this? Do you believe this? Yeah. Martha, do you believe this? And what's your answer?
Yes.
Yes, I believe. Okay. So she said right there in that short period of time, yes, I believe. You're the resurrection of life. You can do whatever you call yourself out to do. Think of verses 39 to 42.
Jesus said, Take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus said unto her, Said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldst believe, thou shouldst see the glory of God. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, they may believe that thou hast sent me.
Okay. So here is Martha, and said, Yes, I believe. Now, when told, move the stone, what was her response? Well, come out! Did she believe?
No.
Well, you gotta question it. I mean, what she is saying is, what she was thinking, yes, I believe down there will happen. But here? Now? But she said, do you believe that if you trust in me, believe in me, I can resurrect? And she said, oh yeah, no problem. But then when the time comes to put up or shut up, she says, I don't want to go there. Sometimes use the illustration of the guy walking across the Niagara Falls. He's got a wheelbarrow walking across, and he's hauling stuff back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Crowd gathers, and he's all excited about it. So she says, do you believe I can carry someone across? Sure, no problem. Get in. How many of you would get in? Now, if it was Jesus with that wheelbarrow. Because we know.
Yeah.
But see, that's the concept there. Jesus is saying, here, get in. And we tend to balk at that. I don't think so. John, I'm running low on time. Let's go over to John 20.
It's kind of like our trials, right? We're going through them, it kind of seems hopeless. But we keep, as we mature, we keep seeing God's faithfulness, and then we can look back and say, he's gotten us through this, he's seen us through this, and we can see that he is faithful. And it's our faithlessness that brings us down, but he is consistent.
John 20, verses 8 and 9.
Then went in also the other disciples, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture, that he must rise again from the dead.
Okay, now this is fascinating. We're looking at that. Now, who is this other disciple? Who is that believed?
John.
John, the writer of this gospel. Was he there in Cana? And he believed. That's what it said. And yet now he said, he went into the sepulchre, he saw, and he believed. And then he said, well, they didn't know that he was going to rise from the dead. What has been Jesus been telling them for the last 3 months or so?
He go to Jerusalem, suffer, die, and rise again.
Yeah. They're sort of thinking like, yeah, right. But see, here's the point. See, faith and belief is a growth. Again, that concept's there. You're sort of like, you take those baby steps and you believe certain things. Remember 1 John where it talks about little young men, this have I written to you. Little children have I written unto you. Young men have I written unto you. And old men have I written unto you. See, the young believer knows one thing only. Jesus Christ died for my sins. The older man learns that he can overcome, begin the process of overcoming his sins and his problems. The old man says, look, I can completely trust in God. I can take all my cares and cast upon them, and I don't have to worry about them. You see the growth? You see the change that occurs? And you go with belief. A lot of times, do we look at belief as being a one-point event? You believe and it's over? But that's not what John's teaching, is it? There's this manifestation of growth. And I'll learn a little bit late. Verses 24 through 31.
Thank you.
Yep.
24 through 31. The promise was called dunamis, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hand the print of the nails, and put my fingers into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet believed. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name.
So we have Thomas, also called Didymus. What would, at this point, in verse 24, and probably 20 and into 25, What do you think his view of Jesus would be?
Teacher, prophet, holy man.
Okay. Yeah. I think the sense that I have of Thomas here is that you hold up Thomas's view of Jesus higher than I do at this point. I think Thomas is completely dismayed. What he wanted, what he saw from Jesus, he didn't see in the last days. After all, Jesus was killed. And so, look at what, and Thomas, would he have probably been there in Cana?
Yeah, certainly heard about it, certainly saw many miracles.
Yeah. And Jesus says to them, be not faithless, but believing. And this is one of the strongest verses of the deity of Jesus Christ that exists. Thomas said unto him, my Lord, and my nice friend, my God. So, see, a lot of people, there are some people that deny the Trinity that says, well, yeah, that's just sort of like us saying, you know, oh my God. No. This is a Jew. A Jew does not use Elohim in the fashion, that type of fashion. He was saying, you're Yahweh. You are my God. So people that attack the Trinity, they belittle this verse because they don't understand the Hebraic mind. Remember the commandments? Thou shalt not take the fourth commandment. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. They wouldn't do that. Not a chance. Especially some of the things you hear about some of these guys. But look at this mess. Because you have seen, you believe. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. See, there's this extra blessing that we get because we have not seen in person, in the flesh, the risen Savior. And yet we believe. Why? Verse 31. These are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that believing you might have life through his name. See, the scriptures, the Bible that we have is not just a bunch of eclectic writings. Some people almost seem to say they're a bunch of eclectic writings written by drunk old men. No, it's written by God. For one purpose only, to show us Jesus Christ. To show us our need for him from the Old Testament. What happens when we try to follow him by our own power and our own mind without faith. And then the transforming power of faith that comes through the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit of God. Remember what we talked about last week? How do we know, one of the marks that we know of that the Bible is true is you have his disciples which are cowering down in a corner, afraid to go out. I mean, even in this passage here, it says the door is being shut. The idea, the concept there would be they are utterly locked. No one's getting in. And Jesus appears. That's how afraid they were, locking themselves behind doors. Because if the Pharisees knew what they were doing. And then we have 40 days later, what happens?
Preaching a bunch of crowds in Jerusalem.
Peter is referring to these guys and saying, you crucified the Christ. And they didn't know what to do with that. Because they could not comprehend what happened. They did not believe. They did not have the eyes of faith. And Jesus didn't open up their hearts and their minds. The reality is, faith is not a stagnant point, but it's a growth process. It's a continual transformation that occurs as we seek to know him more. Any questions, comments? Father, thank you so very much for your hand of grace and mercy, for the word of God which you have placed in our midst, that we might believe, that we might grow in faith, we might grow to trust you more, to draw closer to you, that we might serve you, worship you, praise you every day of our life. And Lord, that we would stand firm and strong and bold in the word of God, and to understand, O Lord, the things that we need to do, the things that we need to say. The people may understand, O Lord, that there is but one way to survive death, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, for your word, for your love, your mercy, and your grace. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.